I'm done.
Thanks, Steven. If you were a gambling man, you'd be a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
I should have said hot rods.
Hey, if you had a hope, if you would have said the word hope, you would have nailed it, because that's what we're going to be speaking about tonight is hope. And I wanted to start off by thanking you all for coming. All those that are live streaming, welcome. And I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for all the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us and this time to be able to come and to worship Him in this house that He has given us. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters here. I'm thankful for God's protection. I'm thankful for my family. And I'm thankful for the time that He has given us. And I hope and I pray that we make the most of that time. And I want to do so this night. I'm not going to give my daughter a hard time. But then again, yes, I am. She got us going here. I felt kind of hurried. But I do know that singing to the Lord is something that I truly appreciate now. And even though she went a little bit long, it's okay with me because some of those last couple songs, really, I was had in my heart, and you know, I listened to Johnny Cash. He has a gospel hymn CD out. And I these songs remind me of him singing that and how he sings it, and you know, it really gives me a deeper perspective on that there's more people out there that know of and that worship the Lord in many different ways. And my hope is that everybody is drawn unto God and His love and knows about Him and learns about Him and has that desire to continue that in their lives and to serve Him. And that's the theme of this evening. I apologize for not putting that up for the landing page on this PowerPoint. I should have done that. It is important that we have an understanding of what the minister, what the preacher of the hour is talking about. And so I wanted to make sure that I convey that message, this hope that we have in this day in which we live. And I wanted to kind of give a few examples of how we go about with hope and some of the things that we can talk about and understand of people that have hope in their lives and relied on God and were blessed because of it. And I wanted to start this evening by saying this, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, this is not Gennesaret. So we're going to talk about the Sea of Galilee and Christ's teachings from the water when He came out in the boat and how He was dealing with Simon Peter and gathering the fish in for him, even though he went out and fished the night before. This is actually a picture from Friday afternoon up at Woods Canyon. And I really just wanted to use this picture because of the peace and the tranquility that was there. And I'm also going to relate to what is going on here in the beginning scriptures of Luke chapter 5 and kind of express to you, you know, some of these things. But one of the things I appreciated this Thursday night, my brother and I went up and we went fishing. And I was thinking about these things, and I was thinking about these scriptures, and I was thinking about, you know, how I can relate some of these things and put them together. And, you know, I have this hope that through all these things that we've been through, that we will be able to see as the body of Christ the goal that is out there, the goal that the Lord has intended, and to look and see of those things that we can do during that time. And we deal with things during life that can frustrate us, that can be difficult, that can be challenging. But I was brought to these scriptures because I kind of had a relation with my weekend adventure and what had transpired at the beginning part of this. And I love fishing. I have fished all my life. I remember the first fish I actually caught. And I still, it's not the same fishing here as it is in Illinois and Wisconsin, but I truly appreciate it because I get to spend time with my brother. And I've also recently spent time with my family out in God's country doing these things. And so I'm going to get us started. And it's in Luke chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. This is going to be the crux of the sermon. We're going to kind of think about this and immerse ourselves in this. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret." And that is on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. So just get an idea. He has a bunch of people coming around him. They want to hear the word of God around Christ. And so he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. And one of the things that's pretty neat, and I was trying to, like, you know, I've read the scripture many times in the past, and I was like, you know, that's kind of, you know, he's got a lot of people there, and he's on this boat, and he's talking to all these people. Are they, like, paddling, trying so he can talk to these people as he's going along the shore? How is he going about doing this? And one of the interesting things I learned that while we were on the lake, you know, you see no people on it right now, but when we were on the lake, we pretty much had it to ourselves, and there's people along the shore. And, you know, when you're on a lake, you get a nice sunburn from the sun. You get a nice breeze coming through. You can see in some of the parts of the lake that it was pretty flat, and you get a reflection of what's around you. And the other thing that I learned this weekend is that not only that, but the water and your surroundings also reflect your sound, your voice, and your voice carries. So these people that were fishing along the shore, these families that came up for the day or whatever the case may be, they might have been camping for the weekend. You know, you could hear their conversation from hundreds of yards away. You could hear exactly what they're talking about. And I was fascinated by it. I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And there were some other gentlemen that joined us on the lake in their little boat, and they weren't having such a productive time, and you could hear their conversations expressing so. You know, even they were off in the distance, they weren't catching any fish, but you could hear them being frustrated and talking to each other. And I found that very interesting. So with this situation with Christ, these people can hear him wherever he's at on the water. He's teaching these people. And not only the fact that he's teaching them from a ship, but the fact that they're gathered together. He is with them, and they are capable of hearing him. He could be out in the distance, and they don't know exactly, you know, can I see him? Can I not see him? Is it sunny out? We don't know the situation there, but we know that he taught the people out of the ship, and that his voice carried, and I'm sure it touched their hearts, and I'm sure those people received something from that. And so I found that portion interesting, to where, you know, where God is, where Christ is, he can teach in any manner, in any situation, and make it to where the people can hear him and can know of him and understand him. And I think God gives us those capabilities as well, and puts us in those situations. And so in verse 4 it says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And that's like to drag the nets to try to catch fish. But in verse 5, Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now, I know a lot of us have fished, right? And I've recently brought my family fishing, and fishing could be very frustrating. It could be difficult. It could be challenging. And these gentlemen here, Simon and the other guys that were with them, they were all night. They were working hard. I'm sure the elements, you know, wore them down. We were in this boat for 6 hours on Friday, and I got out of that boat, and the rest of the night I was walking around like this because it was cold, it was windy, and the water was cold, so you had to rinse off. You know, you're getting fish out of the water, you had to rinse off your hands, and it wears on you, and it can situations when you have nothing to show for all of your efforts. And so Simon here said, again, "We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships. So when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, and the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were their partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, go to him. And so I was reading this, and you know, it's interesting because when I read the verses and when I thought about it, you know, in the hard work and the efforts that Simon and James and John and the sons of Zebedee put into fishing, you know, it was a struggle for them because they had lost their hope. You know, we tried. We did it. We put our efforts into it. Our nets were fine. We're here. We're working on them again. And we have nothing to show for it. And with Christ there, you know, he changed everything. He changed their whole outlook. He helped them realize there was something that was greater than what they had themselves, that can provide for them, that can work with them, that can show them. And he says here, "From henceforth thou shalt catch men." And I love that verse because it's something that Christ is showing us through these scriptures, that if we let Christ be that example in our lives, if we let him lead us, he will teach us these things. He will show us these things. He will help us understand what to do, how to gather others in. He'll help us be able to speak and for people to hear us and to show them by example and experience what the Lord has done for us, how he has done these things for us, why he has done these things for us. He's given us those scriptures to be able to help us understand that, so we can go out and be fishers of men, so we can change people's lives, so we can give them hope, so we can give them understanding, so we can give them to feed off of, something to look forward to, something bountiful, something that they can't even imagine, something that can be made from nothing into something that is bursting and able to feed the masses. And, you know, there's a lot of different things I look at in these verses, and I've been studying with the Sunday school class that I have, and all the deeper meanings that the Lord puts into his scriptures, and that he has given men to be able to share with us. He's given women to be able to share with us those experiences that they had to help us be able to have hope in this day in which we live, to be able to see the Lord's hand at work. And to know that, you know, through these hard times, through, you know, the efforts that we put into things, you know, we might not see the fruits of our labor, but the Lord knows the labor that we put in there. The Lord knows what's upon our hearts and the efforts that come from our hearts, that come from those things that we hope for, and that we have this greater expectation, this goal of seeing those things come about. And the Lord proves it. He proved it to them. He can make something appear from nothing. And the Lord's power is something that we can't comprehend all the time, but he proves us. He proves it to us time after time again. And I like how this hope that we're talking about intertwines with faith. And we know that those two work together in charity. Those are the three important things that we need to understand that the Lord gives us and expects of us, is a hope that builds the faith that leads to charity. And so in Moroni chapter 10, two verses, it says, "Wherefore there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope." They go hand in hand. They go together. And so I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, how do these things go together? Okay. It's kind of like peanut butter and jelly. That's the way my brain puts it. And it works, you know. There's a reason for them to go together. And I think it's to build us up in our spiritual walk, to help us be able to have those stepping stones, to be able to help us ask God and to seek God and for God to show us that he is there that he is working with us. And it says, and if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Those are the stepping stones to the path of the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And our brother Stephen talked. Yeah, all those things that Satan uses, his tools to use us to pull away from the focus of God and to be pulled into iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. Now, I'm sure that Simon had faith. I'm sure Simon had faith. Extremely powerful and strong demonstrations were performed in front of him of the Lord's power of Christ. And it's something that, you know, we don't have Christ with us. But we do. They had him there physically, but we have him here spiritually. And it's a powerful thing to understand that if we can exercise our hope and our faith and our charity, all these things that we desire to do, to be grow, to be able to see what God's will is in our lives, to let the Spirit of God work with us, all those things start to flourish and produce. And people see that and they can feed off of it, just like Christ had all these fish that people could feed off of in their temporal life, in their mortal body. But there's so much more because he tells them, I'm going to make you fisher of men. You are going to feed the masses. You are going to give them what they need to know and understand what it is to get to the kingdom of God. So, you know, this what is it? And what do we hope for? I looked it up. Webster's 1828. It's a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired, or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety.
I find that very interesting.
You know,
it's interesting to see,
man, I really wish that I had that. You know, what does that go along with? That goes along with possibly envying somebody, being jealous of something. You know, we look at that and see
that the good
comes from hoping for something, having a desire of something.
You know, we seek after
things that we desire. It could be in the wrong
direction.
It could lead to pain and anxiety. Same with wishing for something. But we know that hope is accompanied with a slight expectation of obtaining it. So, you know, I have hope in a lot of things. I have hope in raising my kids and having them be faithful in the gospel and being here and being a part of this church and growing and understanding. I have a hope that they'll get married. I have a hope that they'll have a good education. I hope that for my brothers and sisters. I hope new jobs, new opportunities will be there for us to be able to have new opportunities. I hope for opportunities that the Lord gives us to be a light for Him, to be able to show people the protection, to give them that testimony of the comfort that the Lord has given us, the joy in our life, the peace in our lives, all those things that we can hope for. It helps us be able to come and to be a part and to grow and to get strength, to get courage, to get understanding of those things that God wants us to do, and helps us be unshakable. And it helps us to have a firm foundation to stand on. We can be attacked in so many different ways, so many different angles, but hope is essential to our faith. We have to have it. So, you know, hope also can change us. It can change who you are. It can change the things that you value in your life, what's important to you, what's your priorities, the direction that you're going, where you're going in life, when you're going to get there, how you're going to get there. All those things that we exercise with our hope and our faith help us lead, help lead us on that path. Help us be able to deflect all the distractions that or Satan puts in our lives. And we know that God has a purpose in our lives. He knows that he wants us to follow him. And he knows that he can give us that ability to overcome. So, what do we do? How do we do it? How do we get to where we're going to go? And I think that's where charity comes in. If we're charitable, we're sharing these experiences. You know, I look at charity and a lot of us think as charity is a monetary thing. It's something that I actually have to pull out of my pocket and hand out of my wallet. It's not. Charity is so much more than that. Charity is that pure love of Christ, which is helping the sick. I have a really close friend. In a way, he's our neighbor, and his name is James. We've known him since we moved in, and he's always coming by, and he's seen the kids grow up since they were little babies, and he always stops, and we always talk out front, and James is getting older, and, you know, it's one of those things. He's dealing with Alzheimer's disease, and Teresa is his wife, and James walks his dog Daisy to the mailbox, which goes right in front of our house every day and back, and yesterday was very unfortunate for him. Because along with this, he gets dizzy, and so he has a hard time, and he fell on the way to the mailbox, and I was in the house, Brooke came in, I came out, and James had gotten up and told her he was okay, and so he's continuing to walk home, and, you know, I see him, and he stops on the sidewalk, and he's just kind of swaying, and Alicia's there, and she's like, hey, go help him, but he starts walking, and he's walking. You know, when the wind's blowing at his back, so we kind of had a little funny moment with it afterwards. But, you know, it was almost like the wind was pushing him over, and he kept walking faster and faster and faster, and he fell. And by that time, I was running over there, and I, you know, James, hey, you okay? And I lifted him up, and I sat him on the wall there, and I just felt, you know, so inclined to help this man and do whatever I can to help this man. And you could see the look in his eyes that he needed help. And Alicia or Brooke went up and got Teresa at the door and his wife, and she came out. We helped him in. And one of the things, you know, that I made sure of was that I told Teresa, you know, here's my phone number. And James was okay. He got a little cut above his eye. I said, anything you need, anything, lending hand, if you need us to take you somewhere, if you need us to pick you up something, you know, let us know because we're here for you. And I think and I believe that, you know, that is the heart that God wants us to have to all those that we come in contact that need help, all those that we can share that love that he has given us with others. It's those small things like that. Take that opportunity and seize it and use it to God's glory. So, you know, these are things that we try to show and to teach and we share so we know that we're at work. We're at work for the Lord. So we're to other people's hope, that we're giving them the ability to see that there are good people in this world, that it can bring joy in their lives, that it can bring hope into their lives. And we share that this is where we got it from. It's right here, right in these four walls. In other places around the world where brothers and sisters travel, but what God has given us, you know, he's given us this place to be able to share those things and to come out with those things and to testify of his power and his abilities and to know that we, as the body of Christ, are something that is so much more greater than what our governments or our societies can give us. We seek God in our lives to provide us those things that we need for our spiritual life and our temporal life as well, and the lives of others. And so I wanted to read in Psalm, chapter 119, and I am going to read the first 12 verses. And so if you could turn there, I only have the first three. I was going by time. And I was only going to read the first three, but I have time to read the first 1 through 12. It says in Psalm 119, verse 1 through 12, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all thy commandments, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." You know, in this teaching of the Lord, when we exercise that, when we apply it, when we express it, when we share it, we all learn. We all have something that the Lord has shown us, that he has taught us in our life, that he has proven to us, that he has feeded us, that we can share, that we can share together. And I have this picture here. So this was prior up to this day. It says, "Give me a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime." And so, you know, my kids, they didn't grow up where I grew up. Fishing was a pretty big deal. And so I've been teaching my kids how to fish. They got fishing poles and fishing reels for Christmas. And I'm pretty sure this is one of the very first fish that Connor has caught, right, Connor? Well, it's one of the first fish. You haven't caught many fish, right? So leading up to this, though, fishing was really frustrating for Connor. It was something very difficult for him because he wasn't really fishing. He was just throwing this metal thing in the water and pulling it back time after time again until he got worn out. But it was really interesting in this situation when he caught this fish. He was really excited. This is a really good fish. This is Woods Canyon here as well. And he was really excited about this. And Alicia and I just loved the amount of excitement that he had. He was just bursting with excitement. So we finished up here this night. So he didn't want to go fishing. We were on our way back from Jerry and Kathy's, and we happened to have the fishing poles in the back of the car. And so Eric and I were in the front seat, and Connor was sleeping in the back because we had a long day, got up early. And so we said, "Hey, why don't we just stop off here and get the lures wet for a little bit?" Connor, "No, I just want to go home. I just want to go. I'm tired." And so, "Come on, let's just do it." And so we pulled in there. He agreed to do it, and he ended up catching the most fish. He caught 3 fish in like 20 minutes before the sun went down. And so he was super excited. Eric caught one, and the guy that's been fishing all his life, teaching him how to fish, caught none. So if you need instruction on how to fish, go see Connor. He'll teach you. But it was really interesting because we got back in town. We stayed up there in Payson, had dinner, and then we got back in town, and it was something else. I wish every one of you, you've probably seen it in your families, but I wish every one of you could have been at my house that night when we came through the door and Alicia was settled in for the night reading her book. And boy, Connor was so excited. He was talking about this fish to Mom as soon as he got in the door. Every detail that went along catching this fish, how we caught it, and how awesome it was. And he was doing that as he was going into the shower. He closed the bathroom door as he's in the shower, and he's still telling her as he's taking the shower and as he's coming out of the shower. And it was really something. And, you know, I had told Alicia that the night before. I said, "You know, I really want to take the boys, and I want to spend this time with them, because it's important to me that we have this time to be able to just be together and to do something. And this was something that my dad had done with me, and I thought it was something, it was on my heart to share with them this experience in the hope that we would catch some fish, and we did. But, you know, it was one of those things. I'm going to embarrass my wife now that, you know, she's laying in bed and we're laughing hysterically because he's just going on and on and on, louder in the shower. And it brought tears to my wife's eyes, you know, and she said, well, I guess your plan worked. And I was so thankful for that, you know, just that opportunity to have this plan, to have this hope that this is what the outcome would be, and that hopefully I can obtain it. And the Lord provided. He gave us this opportunity. And it changed. I believe this is something that he's going to be talking about all of his life, even as I'm embarrassing him right now and he's hunching down so he can't see me. But it's one of those things, those experiences that I truly wanted to make it something that had an impression on him all of his life. And these are the things that God gives in our lives to have an impression on others, that we could share of how great his love is, how much he loves us, and how much he wants to show us, and how he wants us to be so excited that when we come home or when we go to places, we can share these things, that we can prove the faith that we have in Christ and in God. And so, you know, wonderful opportunities the Lord gives us to be able to learn and to understand of his ways. But more so, wonderful are the opportunities that the Lord gives us to be able to open our hearts and experience things that he desires to show us, that he wants us to have hope in, that we know that we can obtain because of our faith. Awesome are those things. It's a powerful thing. It can change your life. It could change who you are, what you value, where you're going, and how you're getting there. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, one verse. So whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I appreciate that, because patience is a key and essential part of our spiritual walk. And it helps us be able to establish that hope and to know through patience, God's going to give us everything that we need. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desireth cometh, it's a tree of life. And so that word deferred, for those that do not know, it is in Webster's 1828, to delay, to put off, to postpone to a future time. And it's basically, the way I read this and the way that I kind of process it in my mind and the way that I see is that, you know, this hope, this thing that is of God that we should have, how is it that we can defer that if we know all those things that God can do? How is that? How do we defer that? How do we put that aside, put it off, postpone? Well, the enticing of all those things that are out there that distract us, that make us think that that's the higher priority and defer the things which are essential to our spiritual walk. That's how that happens. And that's what makes a heart sick, because it's been taught that, you know, these things that the Lord, the world provides, the world offers us, all those things that we wish we had, all those things that we desire of, you know, if they're always out of reach, you know, it causes this sickness within us. So we need to understand that, you know, these things that are essential to our life that the Lord gives us, that we can't put those things aside. That should be the top priority in our lives, and not to defer them. Don't postpone them. Think about it. Meditate about it. Go experience it. Put it to the test. That's what the Lord calls us to do. Put it to the test, and he'll prove it to you. Okay, so some things I want you to think about. What are those things in your life that build up hope? Do you share those things with others? And the things that influence you, You know, what are those things? What's really influencing you? You know, get a piece of paper, write it down. You know, and if you don't have things of God, inject those into your life. Make those changes. Take those and apply them. And then see how your life changes. Let the Lord do that with you. It's a demonstration of His power, of His might. More importantly, of His love for us. Try those things. There's opportunities every day. And a lot of times, we skip over the things, the little opportunities that there are for us to be able to put the Lord's Spirit in our lives and to see how it's working. Because we're so complacent sometimes. Sometimes we're so focused on things that we desire. Sometimes we're so focused on things that we have a wish for. And, you know, it could be right there in front of us. And we can be seeing right past it. So slow down. Have a little patience. Put it on paper. Think about those things that in your life have give you hope in God and what He has to offer. What are those things? And build off of that. Let those things be your foundation, your building blocks to something greater, to be able to see that love that God has. And just like in Luke chapter 5, you know, it's amazing how the Lord blesses us and how we feel so richly blessed when we really give our heart over to God and to see how He's working in our lives. It's something that, you know, hey, I'd really be happy with a whole net and boat full of fish, but there's so much more to these verses that the Lord is trying to teach us, okay? So, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in it. We have joy in that. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's shed abroad. The sands of the sea, the people along the shore, if we give that love of God, that's who it reaches out to. It's a multiplying effect, as our brother Andy was teaching us. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans chapter 8, verses 24-25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Kind of interesting theory there, right? You know, if we saw it, we knew it, and that's exactly what was going to happen, that's not hope. But if we have patience in God, and He shows us to it, and we wait for it over time, that's exercising our hope. You know, I that these kids of mine and all of your kids grow up to be very successful, productive, contributing to society, be able to, most importantly, have that love of God, and they share it with others. Sometimes I wish I could just take everything that I knew, implant it into a young man from my family, and have him grow from there. But it's something I have to hope for, and part of him gaining that hope and that faith in his life is from what he sees and what he sees the Lord doing in other people's lives. And so that's what's important to me is, you know, I have this family and, you know, they're going to all go down a different path in life. But the most important path that I want them to go down is the path that the Lord leads before them, and they follow after that. Okay? So, everybody has different personalities. Everybody has different attributes and characteristics. Everybody has different thoughts and ideas in their life. But the one thing we all have in common is that we all have God in our lives, that we all come here to worship Him. Let's draw others unto that. Show them the path. And so in Ether chapter 5, verses 4 through 10, it says, "Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God." One of my favorite songs there. That song right there. I'm not going to sing it. But if I was at home, I would. And I'd probably get all the words wrong, and my wife would yell at me. So that's kind of how it goes. Little tidbit from Gary's World. But I do it. Okay, I'm going to stop. All right, so verse 9. It says, "But because of the faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of that heavenly gift, that they might hope for these things which they have not seen. Wherefore you may also have hope and be partakers of the gift if you will but have faith." And we know that we can put that seed, that faith into people. We can inject that into them by just showing who we are, to show that love of God, to show what joy He brings in our lives and the peace that He gives us and the hope that He gives us. Those are the things that we need to do. We need to start working on. We need to build up and have the courage to do. Jeremiah chapter 29. And this here, this is West Fork, up in Oak Creek Canyon. So there's opportunities that I've had with taking time off, and I wanted to make the most of them with my family. And last year, we're only allowed to have so much vacation, and the last time I cashed out vacation so it wouldn't be taken away from me, and I just got a check. And I said this time, I am not going to do that, because this is what's important. This is what's important. And I want to make sure that not only can I spend time with my family, but I can also do that in a manner that is something that God would appreciate. And I think God's country is a good place to go and do that. But in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And you don't start off, but by just writing a few things down on a piece of paper and holding yourself accountable for that. You know, looking at your life, where your perspective of yourself is, and, you know, praying to God, "Show me, Lord, show me." He will. If we're seeking after Him, He will. And there's a few things I wanted to point out. I like this verse with this picture because there's a few things here. Number one, you don't know where this path is going to lead. That could go right off a cliff right there, right? You don't know. But what do? You walk down the path to find out. And you see where this path has been. And you know it's not going to walk right off a cliff, obviously, because it's a well-established path. You can see that by, on the sides of the path, how worn down that path is. That path is worn down. It wore me down. It wore our dog down. Our dog was walking with stiff legs the next day because it was so sore. Because that path has been walked to the extent to where a lot of, all of us have been at the ranch, I think. And you know how you get the silt on the ground and it's real like sandy? That was our 14-mile adventure that day. 11 miles that we walked. And it was all the way in and all the way back out of West Fork up in Oak Creek, just north of Sedona. Jay's probably really familiar with that. Yep. And the other thing I wanted to point out here is that, you know, That walk, it was easy, but yet it was difficult. And so, such is life. The one thing I really appreciated about this picture too is that, you know, just as Christ, thousands of years ago, had walked and shown us the way, he led, he was here physically, led by example. You know, I look at this path as other people that are following after Christ time after time again. And what I really like is that how it's in the shade, and from the shade you can see the light out there. And I really thought about that, and I was like, you know, I know we live in Phoenix, Arizona, but I was thinking, you know, this is kind of like, you know, the light of Christ, the Sermon on the Mount. Here I come down the path to go see him. The light's out there. There he is, and this light is bright, and it's something that I can't wait to go see. And I can see that other people have walked down this path, and look at how beautiful it is. Look at it. This path is something that I will remember all my life, such as I will remember this path that the Lord has put in my life to walk down. I'll remember it all my life. And when I pass from this life, I'll probably, hopefully, be able to remember it as well. I don't know how all that works. Cannot comprehend it. But truly, I do appreciate, you know, these things that the Lord gives us in our lives to really absorb, to let it go into our hearts, to not have anybody be able to pull this out of my mind and out of my heart ever again. It's one of those things that is God's treasures that he has given us. A brother had talked about that this morning. You know, God gives us these opportunities, these experiences to see how he works, to let his treasure be inside of us. And we can share that treasure. We can make other people see the riches that God has in store, that you can go if you walk down the path and you can see, you can partake of, you can be fed from, you can receive shelter from, you can share with others, you can teach with others. So let that be something that you hope for. Let that hope be of God being in your lives and walking you down a path to where you know that it is obtainable, in that God is the provider of that. So may God bless you, each and every one of you, and I thank you, and pray for each and every one of you and our sister Pat as well. Keep her in your prayers.